Amen. We've been doing a series called Words. Say words.
Words.
Words have power. We've been talking, this is our third message in this series, and a quick review. Words have power. We're saved by words. Said, no. The Bible says you believed in your heart and you confessed with your mouth. The word confession that we've taken out of for this series is not a confession of sin, but actually the original text is homologio, which means to say what God says. To say what God says about you. When you begin to say what God says, God's word has power. In fact, the Bible tells us that God has elevated or lifted his word above his name, which means his name, his authority, his power backs his word. So if God says it, you can take that to the bank. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Some of us have been leaving that check at home, though, and not benefiting from what God's been saying about us. Because it's easier in life to gravitate to what other people say about us. We miss out because we're hanging on to stuff that other people have been saying. And we found out from Scripture that life and death are in the power of the tongue, which means they're in your words. I'll give you a human practical thing. A lot of people deal with stuff in life, and if you could trace it back, it's usually when they were open, their heart was open, they were vulnerable or available for someone to speak into their life, and someone spoke negative words to them. It might have been a parent, might be a relative, an aunt, uncle. It might be a close friend. It might have been a teacher. Maybe a teacher told you when you're young, you're stupid, and you'll never figure out this math. And to this day, when you go to do any math calculations, you struggle and question yourself. Maybe someone told you you're worthless and you don't deserve and I hate you and you're no good. And so your whole life you thought you were deserving of any and every problem that's come down into facing you. Maybe someone told you you'll never accomplish anything and you're a loser. And you, every time you try to do something, all of a sudden you have that fear of I'm going to fail because I'm a failure. See, words have power. Words aren't empty canisters that float around and we say what we want and nothing happens. No, words have power. God created everything. The Bible says all things were created by him and for him. And without him, nothing was created. And we see in Genesis that when God wanted to create, he spoke. Yes. Yes. When God wanted to send his son, he sent the word that became flesh and dwelt amongst them, John chapter 1. Words have power. In fact, the centurion soldier came to Jesus and said, my child is sick. I need you to heal. And he said, I'll come. And he said, you don't even need to come to my house. Just speak the word only. He goes on to say, for I am a man under authority and a man over authority. And I say to one, come, and they come. One, go, and they go. And Jesus said, I have not seen such great faith. The man didn't say, I'm a man of great faith. The man said, I'm a man under and over authority. Jesus called it a man of faith. Why? Because he understood authority of being in alignment with authority. And it's just not saying what you want to say. It's saying what God is saying. See, this is a truth that's so powerful, but has been so manipulated and abused in the world. It's not a matter of you telling yourself, trying to make yourself believe something that you want. You can say cat like 1,000 times. You got quiet. And I'm not against Cadillacs. Kind of like those cars. They got some nice cars out there, don't they? No, it's not a matter of you saying something 1,000 times and it happens. It's not mind over matter. In the New Age, which is a cult. See, cults are a little bit of truth that's been twisted. The devil never creates anything. He takes what God's done and he twists it. He twists it. And the cults will say, oh, it's mind over matter. And they get you, if you just don't agree with them mentally, then it'll change. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about God's word, truth over the situation. For the Bible tells us that the things we deal with are temporary, which means are subject to change. But the word of God is eternal, which means does not change. See, my words have power. And we've talked about dealing with not only saying the right thing, but not saying the negative or the death. Today I want to talk about what happens when we deal with maybe some negative stuff that's been spoken to us. Maybe you are that person that grew up thinking you're a loser. Maybe you grew up because someone told you that you're a failure. Maybe somebody told you that you're no good. Maybe someone, they might say that, and if we hear it enough, faith cometh by hearing. Catch this. Faith cometh by hearing. Let me say it again. Faith cometh by hearing. When you hear it enough, you'll develop faith for it, right or wrong. The faith in God's word comes by hearing the word of God. Some people, they have faith that God doesn't heal anymore, and they are convinced that God doesn't heal anymore. Some people have faith that everything they touch falls apart and they're a failure. They believe it with all their heart. Why? Because they heard it. Faith comes by hearing. Faith, here, let me show you the power of words. James says that the tongue is so powerful that it's like kindling and can start a great fire. Yes. Have you ever started a fire? Have you ever started a fire with kindling wood? What is kindling wood? Kindling wood is that real thin wood that lights quickly, burns fast, but helps start the fire. Once you got a big fire going, you can't trace back the kindling, can you? See, some of us are dealing with great fires of life, and we can't figure out why, but if we trace it back, we'll find it started with some words. But if words can create destruction, that's death, then words can also create life, because death and life are in the power of your words. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the devil does not like this message. He does not want you to know this, because all of a sudden it puts you in the driver's seat and you are the deciding factor to you reaching your destiny. It's not about God doing it or the devil keeping you from it. You are the one. No one can separate you from destiny but you yourself. But you don't know what I grew up with. You don't know where I've come from. You don't know what my hindrances are. You don't know what God is saying about you. I feel like I'm in a boxing ring right now. I'm going to be jiving and ducking a little. Bam. Exodus 32. Ah, did you come? Are you ready to? Let's live free. Let's be free. Let's be happy in all that God's called us to be. Amen. Exodus 32. If you heard other stuff, just put this on the back burner and listen. Just listen. Don't close the door yet. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down, in context, what is happening, Israel has been delivered from their oppressors. They've been in slavery for over 400 years, praying God for deliver. God sends Moses. Moses, by the power of God, does some great miracles. If you look, and it's a cool study, you'll find out that every miracle that God used Moses to do literally was in a complete opposition to a God that Egypt worshipped. So it's basically God knocking down every one of their gods that they worship to. You got God over here, watch what we'll do. Now see what your God can do about that. Okay, next. Next. Why? Because before God was taking them out, he was letting Egypt know who the true God was. Come on, somebody. And so God has defeated their enemies. They're on their way to the promised land. And Moses goes up into the mountain, and it's taken too long. Say too long. It's amazing how carnality will tell us that the things of God are too long. Well, I can't read the Bible that long. That's too long. I can't pray that long. That's too long. I'm a busy person. We don't mind. We can watch an hour and a half, 2 hour movie and not think anything of it. 3 hour movie. Come on, somebody. Someone said, why don't you read your Bible for 2 hours? And I'm a busy person. I got time for that. We can spend 4 hours watching Whitney's funeral. Come on, somebody. And we can't find time to open our Bible. Did I go there? Yes, I did. And people saw that Moses, we got to move on now. People saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain. And the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, make us gods which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings. Now, I don't know how long this conversation took. They might have pressured him for hours, days, or 5 minutes. In the context, it doesn't look like Aaron put up too much of a fight. He turned quickly, did he not? Can you imagine this guy? They said, we need to have another God. Moses gone. We don't know where he's at. Why don't we make a God and we'll let that God be our God? Okay, give me your earrings. At least have a discussion about this thing, right? And he said, notice, break off your golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people broke off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it as a graven tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Ooh. I don't know about you, but if I happened to be standing those times, I think I would slowly move back. Something don't feel right about what they're saying and doing. Lightning might be coming down now. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Where did that golden calf come from? Think about it for a second. It's rhetorical, but now I'm going to ask you to say something. Where did that golden calf come from? Oh, it came from the earrings? Came from Aaron? Let me tell you this. I believe the golden calves came out of an image from Egypt. Because God had brought Israel out of Egypt, but was still getting Egypt out of Israel. See, that's what we deal with, and it's also typology. It's a type of what we deal with in life, because we get saved, and we know we're forgiven. Sins, we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Free, saved, behold, all things are brand new, and yet we're still dragging some calves with us. We bring those calves into our marriage. We can bring those calves into our work. We can bring those calves into our relationships and business dealings. We can bring those calves even into our church. Well, Pastor, that's not the way, that last church I came out of, that's not the way we did it. Well, we're not the last church you came out of. We bring those calves into all kinds of stuff. Those things that have been rooted in us that will hinder us. It will keep us from having all that God wants. And see, when you have that image, when you have that calf, call it a tree, call it what you want, that has come out of the world system, that has come out of negative words spoken into you, that's come out of what the enemy has tried to plant into your life. When we have it, we believe it for sure. We're right. Everybody else is wrong. We're right. We know we're right. The only problem is we're wrong because it's not in line with the Word of God. Getting quiet. So today we want to talk about how to deal with that stuff. Jesus said, you're the head, but you feel like you're the tail. He says, you're above always, but you feel like you're beneath. He says, you're the heel, and you feel like you're always will be sick. How do we deal with that stuff that has been put into our lives, that has grown? First thing, if you're taking notes, the first thing we must do is stop it. Stop it. Let's stop any new death words coming into our lives. Let's close the door from the garbage trying to come in to create us future problems. Did you hear me? It's like someone trying to get out of debt. The first thing you got to do is stop using your credit card, right? You got to stop the cycle. Let's stop, and then we'll deal with the other, but we got to stop the bad cycle. We got to stop. Let me go to a couple of scriptures. Psalms 141 verse 3 says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Keep the what? Door. I want you to notice here, this is a great example. The what? The door. See, your words, your lips, it's like a door. It's a door. Say, it's a door. Have you ever had someone tell you to shut the door? Shut up. That's not nice. My daughter would tell me. Matthew 16:19. Stick with me. I'm going to build this thing. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That a lot of times we've taken that just with demons or taken authority and said, I bind that in Jesus' name. But I want you to notice something. Another translation says, what you permit will be permitted, and what you do not permit. What you allow will be allowed. What you do not allow. Well, why did God allow that? Maybe it's not God allowing it. Maybe it's us, and we haven't closed the door. Well, Pastor, I don't know if those are really saying that. I'm glad, because we need two or three witnesses. So let's add a third one. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Have you ever heard that? Yes. Have you ever heard that verse? No weapon formed against me will prosper. Amen. But we don't stop reading yet. And every tongue, that's a word, that shall rise up against you. That's a word of death. That's negative. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you. Didn't say God would condemn it. You. Didn't say your neighbor would condemn it. You condemn it. Why? Because you have authority given to you by God. It's a kingdom principle. And what you allow will be allowed. What you say no to will be stopped. You condemn it. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. If you open the door and let everybody in, you've actually welcomed them in. If you see them coming, you don't want them in. You close the door, lock the door. How do we do that? With the door of our words. With our door of our words. See, for me, one of the things I do is I use the phrase, I just say, I curse that in the name of Jesus. And I learned the hard way because I would find myself in conversations and I would just like to carry on the conversation and be nice to the person and hear him talk and I'd hear him say something and go, yeah. And Lord, start dealing with me. You're agreeing to what they're saying. You'd hear people say, oh man, the economy's so bad. Everybody's losing their house. Yeah. Well, why am I agreeing with that? Man, what's in the food today? Oh, everybody's getting sick and dying early, getting cancer. Well, I'm not going to agree with that. I've had people say stuff to me and not even be a Christian, and they'll say something, and I'll stop, and instead of saying, yeah, I'm trying to be nice and polite, I'll curse that in the name of Jesus. They'll look at me a little crazy. I don't care what they look at because I don't want my house gone, and I don't want to die of cancer. Amen. Now here, there's a practicality. Just because you say it doesn't mean it's going to happen overnight. And I'm going to get into that in a minute. But it will happen over time. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. We, in the church world, we're in the habit of saying, and we can say stuff and not realize it. We're in the habit of saying the word amen. Say amen. Amen. A lot of times people don't realize amen says, so be it unto me. So you get some dear person, get up on the church testimony night and say, my husband's left me. My dog died. I just lost my job and the doctor said I got cancer. And some dear, sincere person will say, amen, sister. Really? Really? Do you really want that? Oh, I didn't know I was saying that. Yeah, but the word of God says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Ignorance is not an excuse. See, the devil will take what God does and twist it and will use it against you. Did you hear me? So we have to be real with this. And just because it sounds like a country song, don't it? Dog died, lost job. You ever hear the joke about if they turn remember backward masking, some of you back in the day? You don't remember that? Am I getting that? No, I'm not getting that at all. I refuse that. Curse that in the name of Jesus. They would take songs and play them backwards. They would say stuff. Yeah, backward masking. Yeah, you hear when they did that to the country songs, what they were doing, what was happening? They're getting their dog back, getting their job back. Oh, forget it. It's a dumb joke. It was a dumb passing joke, so don't worry about it. But words have power. You agree with them, and you are opening the door to it. Even, are you listening? Even if you like the song. And you're singing that song, but if that song is speaking death into your life, you can like the tempo. But if you're singing along with it, you... I'm trying, my friend. I really am. We're going to get somewhere today. I'm trying. So we have to stop. We have to close the door to that garbage. Someone starts talking negative. You don't want to say, yeah. You don't want to say, I agree. You don't want to say, sure. No. You walk away from it or you cancel that in the name of Jesus. You can say, I curse that in the name of Jesus or I cancel that. We need to cancel out some of the negative words we spoke. I think we need to, I didn't do this in the first service. I think we need to do it right now. Say it with me. Say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I cancel out. I curse. I render helpless. And ineffective. Every word that's come out of my mouth that is in conflict to your word. In Jesus' name. We got to cancel this stuff. Got to close the door. I'm not going to let no more garbage in. I mean, you can, the words have power. You can wake up one morning and say, "Woo, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling God. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm rejoicing. It's going to be the best day of my life." And run into one conversation with one person that speaks negative and walk away saying, "This is the hardest day of my life." Words have power. You got to be willing to say, "Wait a minute, I'm not to be even mean to you, but I don't accept that. I judge that right now. I condemn that." See, condemning something means you bring judgment to it. It means you bring judgment. That means you look at it and say, "Yeah, I've heard it, but I judge that. That's unacceptable. I'm not accepting it in my life. Curse that. I cancel that." Say, "I cancel that in Jesus' name." So we have to stop it. Second thing, we need to uproot it for all the stuff that did make it through because we didn't know any better or we were too young. And all of a sudden, we deal with these calves of Egypt, these images of the world system and what the world has done. And though we're saved, love God, go to heaven, some of the garbage that has been planted by the enemy into who we are and what we are and what we can do, and we struggle with that. Every time we start to obey God, the calf starts crying out, and we get intimidated and take a step back. How do we uproot it? Matthew 15, verse 12 through 13 says, Jesus said unto his disciples, the disciples came to Jesus and said unto him, "Don't you know that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." There's stuff that the enemies try to plant into our lives. But it's the will of your Father to have that uprooted. To have it uprooted. It might offend people, but it's not a matter of trying to keep everybody happy. Some people are going to get offended. Because some people don't want to know the truth. Because the light of the truth brings judgment into their darkness. But we're here to take, we got to take care of our own stuff. Amen? So we need to uproot it. Say uproot it. Every plant that Egypt sown into us, it's going to be uprooted in the name of Jesus. How do we uproot it? Luke 17, verse 3 through 6. And what you have to understand, I wish I had this this passage, there's another passage that says, God places his word in our mouth that he can plant the heavens, which means God needs us to begin to say what he is saying to give him access into our lives. Why would God need access? Because he gave you authority in life. If I give you my watch and said, "I'm taking off my watch, it's your watch." You say, "Thank you," and you walk away. At that point, it's your watch. I cannot take it off your wrist and say, "I'm taking it back." No, it's your watch. And if I want to use that watch, I have to ask your permission. See, sometimes we're expecting God just to override it or our will. No, God needs us to open the door and say, "Lord, I want your will. Your kingdom come, your will be done in my life, in my marriage, in my health, in my finances, in my children, in my grandchildren, in my neighborhood, in my..." Notice Luke 17, "Take heed to yourselves," or give attention to yourselves, "if your brother trespass against you, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him." Now, not to go into a deep teaching on forgiveness, but notice it says, if he trespass against you, rebuke him. And then if he repents, forgive him. "And if he trespass against you seven times a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith." Why would they say increase our faith? Not because they couldn't forgive, but because the offense was of such nature. They didn't think they could forgive. And the Lord said, "If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." Stuff that rises up to keep you from obeying God, you have authority to speak to that sycamine tree, which is not a mountain, but this one's a sycamine tree, and tell it to be uprooted, uprooted, because we just don't want it to, top of it go and the roots stay, because if the roots stay, it's going to try to come up again one day. To be uprooted, say uprooted. What am I telling you? I'm telling you that there'll be times in your life that a mindset or an emotion will rise up in you and you will start to act because it's an old nature, it's carnality, it's a thing from the past that you might justify and say, "Well, you know what, I'm four generations of having temper attitude problems and so it's okay." No, it's not okay, because when you got saved, behold, all things are new, and you came out of that crazy tree and you've been planted and grafted into a new vine. Did you hear me? We have to quit giving justification for what the enemy is doing in our lives. Oh, we're just offended people. My whole family, we'll all get offended. No. You're part of a new vine. We're just jealous people, or we're just angry people. No. You're being grafted a new vine. And what do? So when something rises up and the anger rises up, you can react to it, or you can stand your ground and say, wait a minute, in the name of Jesus, I speak to that anger. You don't belong in me. I'm a child of God, and I command you to be uprooted out of my life in the name of Jesus. Offense, I don't care what they said to me. You have a choice to be offended. Offense, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over you, and I uproot you out of my spirit and soul and body. A lot of that stuff in my life. Let me help you out. Here's another thing. I almost said singles, but this happens even for married couples. You holding a flame for someone that you're not with? Oh, why did I let that one go? You're carrying a torch emotionally for somebody that you're not married to, or you have feelings for someone, you're single, and you have feelings for somebody that's already married. It's not of God. Did you hear me? It's not of God. Quit entertaining it. Oh, but you never know. God might work it out. God's not going to work that out. That's not of God. Oh, but he loves me. He don't love you. He's just telling you that. Not of God. Even if he divorced his wife and married you, there's going to be another girl he's telling that to. Don't you fool yourself. Don't you fool yourself. May I be so bold. The lies that has been told, and people believe it. This whole thing, I'm just going to say it. I'm going to get in trouble, but I'm going to say it. This lie that says that you just take care of your man and he won't look for somebody else is a lie. You can take care of him all day, five times a day. It's a spirit. It is a lie of the devil. And it's a destructive spirit that will run you ragged, thinking that you're not good enough to keep your man. It's not you keeping him. It's a demon of lust and adultery that drives him to other women. I just tell it like it is. That's the truth. That is the truth. That is the truth. That is the truth. You bend over backwards trying to keep him happy so it won't fight. Listen, let the joker go. He's a loser. He don't make you feel good about yourself. Let him go. That door swings both ways, baby. Tell you. That is a lie. We're preaching now. And when that feeling comes up, that emotion comes up for somebody, that emotion comes up, your feelings start feeling that warm. You better recognize what it is and say, in the name of Jesus, I curse and bind that, and I uproot it out of my life in the name of Jesus, because it's there for no other reason to hinder you from doing what God wants you to do. Don't you be waiting on him. He's already married. Don't you be waiting on her. She's already married. You got to get, you're married too. You got to uproot that garbage because it came out of the world system and will hold you back. That's a real deal. I'm telling you, that's some good stuff. It's not denying that you feel it. It's saying, I recognize those feelings, but I know that they're not from God. So I choose to uproot that calf. And let me tell you, that calf, when you uproot a calf, it comes screaming. It comes wiggling. It comes, not me. Not that you're going to have an exorcism, but I'm telling you, it's not going to be like, oh, this. You're going to feel yourself crying. You're going to be crying. Why? Oh, I wish. No. You just keep uprooting that garbage. And every time he shows up, you uproot it. You uproot it. I told you, we're boxing today. They uproot it. Last but not least, replace it. Replace it. Replace it. Not that everything's got to be tied to a spiritual connection. connection, but I think it's a strategy of the devil. I believe there is a spiritual connection. Jesus said that when an enemy is defeated or removed out of its place, a stronghold, that it roams to dry places. And if it can't find something there somewhere else, what it does is it comes back. Now catch this. In the text it says, and if it comes back to its original place where it just came from and finds it clean, swept, and empty. The problem is not being clean and swept. The problem is empty. You have to replace it with something different. Because if you don't, then on your lowest time, on your weakest moment, when you're tired and hurt and lonely, all of a sudden, by chance, you'll just happen to run into that person that you thought you dealt with and got it over, even though they're married, and you'll run into them, and they'll tap you on your pretty little hand and say, I've been thinking about you so much. I'm here for you if you ever need me. I know I'm there, but you can trust me. You got a shoulder to cry and call me if you ever need anything. That's a lie of the devil. You better fill it with something else, because they will try to come back 7 times stronger. You got to uproot it, and you better replace it with something else. So that if Mr. or Mrs. Joker show back up in your life, you can say, hi, how you doing? I have, you know to yourself, I have no feelings, no connections, nothing in me moves. Before they'd walk in, your heart would flutter, your knees would clap. Anybody looking, you got to turn your head and see who's watching. You got a problem. To replace it. How do we replace it? Look, Gospel of Mark chapter 4. Are you getting anything from this today? I'm telling you, the world is filled with people with soul ties. It's a natural thing that happens in life. You got to learn how to uproot that garbage and go on with life, the life that God has for you. Mark 4, verse 14 through 20, this says, the sower soweth the word, and these are by the wayside where the word is sown, but they that have heard it, Satan comes immediately and takes away this word that was sown in their hearts. Now I stop here, and this is just a small segment of this whole parable about the word and sowing. But I want to draw attention to something. I want you to notice that what is the seed? It's the word of God. If you read the whole parable before, this is part of the explanation of the parable by Jesus about the sower sowing seed. In different grounds, rocky ground, good ground. The seed is the word of God. Say, the seed is the word of God. What also I want you, because of time, we can't go through the whole parable. What I also want you to know, and write this down, do your own study, your own time, also to recognize that the ground is heart, the heart. The ground is your heart, your spirit, your heart. Proverbs 4:23 tells us, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. We got to stop. Don't let junk in anymore. Uproot the stuff that's been trying to live in our lives that shouldn't belong anymore. And begin to replace it. Because out of your heart flows the issues, the qualities, the important things of life. Mark chapter 4, and Jesus said unto them, take heed what you hear. Notice this. Take heed what you hear. Just because someone's talking doesn't need to be, you don't need to be listening necessarily. You don't have to be rude, but you can excuse yourself politely. Just because they're saying something doesn't mean they have a right to be saying something into your life. I didn't say this in the first service, and I feel led to say it now, so listen to me. Be careful who you allow speak into your life. Not everybody has a, just because they have a voice or have an opinion doesn't give them right to speak into your life. Got to do what I say. Well, I don't know. You haven't done anything in your own life. I should be taking advice from you. Right? Just because they're talking doesn't mean you have to be listening. Wish I had an organ player right at that moment. He said, take heed what you hear. Let's jump to verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Cast seed. This is all in the same chapter of this other parable, the same context. What is the seed? The word. What is the ground? Your hearts. Good. You guys are awesome. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as man should cast seed in the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow, he knoweth not how. Notice two things from this. It didn't happen overnight, but does happen over time. You plant an apple seed, it doesn't produce apples overnight. But if allowed, it will happen over time. It doesn't happen overnight, but does happen over time. You keep telling your kids that they're losers or trouble or you hate them. It doesn't happen overnight. It will happen over time. You tell them you're gonna never make anything. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens over time. we have somehow cursed our own and blamed it on the devil. No, no, no. Speak life. Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. We're not telling you not to see what is going on, but begin to not just see and say what's going on. Say what you want to happen. Begin to plant the right seeds into your marriage, the right seeds into your children, the right seeds into the atmosphere of your home, the right seeds into your business, the right seeds into the environment that you live and work in, the right seeds of God's word. You say, well, if I'm just saying it to me, what does that make a difference? Because you might not understand how it works. Just like this person, he plants it night and day, and does not know how it works. Even when you don't understand how this works, it still works. Just sleep, rise night and day, and the seed shall spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. See, if you hear those words, they're going somewhere, they're going into your heart. Not overnight, but over time. It's going to produce change. It produces change. Isaiah 55, last verse, Isaiah 55, verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Notice this, God's ways are higher than your ways. But God, that's not the way I would handle it. Good idea, not good enough. Can your ego handle that? Can your ego handle that? Good idea, but not good enough. But I got a better idea. I got a great thought, but not good enough. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Notice, the rain and the snow come from heaven, and what do? They water the earth and make it bring forth and bud. So shall my word be. The next verse. That goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that to which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I want you to notice something. What? Notice this. But it shall accomplish. What's it?
The word.
It shall prosper. What's it?
The word.
It's not you. It's the word. It's the word. The word has power, its own DNA, to do something. And as you saturate your heart and your mind with the word, you're planting the word in your heart. Faith cometh by hearing, and you keep doing it, and you keep doing it, and night and day, and night and day, and you don't understand how it all works, but it works because the word begins to produce a change on the inside of you that affects the outside of you, and all of a sudden, you can take a big breath and go, wow, I feel like it's heaven on earth. My marriage is the best it's ever been. My children are rising up and becoming what you just hoped for, you now have faith for, and you begin to see it with your own eyes. Because your destiny is not in the hands of anybody else but you. The word, the word, the word, the word. Well, I don't know if I agree with that. Then don't do it. Thank you for preaching this one. It is a principle of the kingdom. Uproot. Got to stop it. We have to begin to uproot it. And then we have to begin to replace it. So that when the enemy tries to throw that thought of your failure, something rise up in you and say, no, 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 no. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Someone says, no one loves you. Someone says, you're going to die. You have the word that rises up to tell you it's alive in you. It's producing in you. It's changing things around you. It's not to be used to beat up people or other people, control other people. That's not your jurisdiction. But you have authority over your own life. And you speak life and watch what God will do. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise.